Frank Floor. Our man Frank Floor continues to somehow defy all odds and be useful.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized,
hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field.
So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck, and today, guys, you are getting another solo cast, courtesy of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. So this morning, guys, it is me, my cup of coffee, and the always amazing fantasy football. So before we jump into the Week 13 preview, guys, just want to tell you, we're sponsored by No Halftime. No Halftime isn't your typical fantasy sports service. You get to play one-on-one fantasy matchups. Sign up with the code LTFF100 for a special sign-up bonus. Guys, with that, we've got previewing Week 13. Obviously, I'm all alone, so you're going to listen to me ramble a little bit. I'll try and throw in some jokes, try and make it worthwhile. But I won't make any promises because you never know what you're going to get here with Let's Talk Fantasy Football. So let's start the Week 13 games here. Let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs. Why? Because they're my team. I love them. They're playing the Atlanta Falcons. Let's start with the Falcons side of the ball. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt just because I'm a Chiefs homer. Guys, Matt Ryan, he's a start. If you own him, you're playing him. The Chiefs have allowed top 12 fantasy quarterback. Six of their last eight games, they got lit up by Trevor Siemian in week 12. He finished as QB4 here, according to Evan Silva. Yikes. So Matt Ryan's going to be great. I think even better, Julio Jones. We'll talk about him in a second. I think you could look to stack Matt Ryan and Julio Jones here against the Chiefs. But let's touch running backs. If you own Devontae Freeman, you're starting him. His snaps dropped last week with Tevin Coleman returning, but he's going to continue to get a good workload. Chiefs are good on the run defense, but you know Freeman's still a running back too. You're rolling him out there. Dontari Poe for them, banged up. Don't know if he's going to go this week. Tevin Coleman's touches when healthy have been about 11-10 a game. I think he's more of a flex option at best. You know, I won't pretend to know much about the Falcons running game, but Falcons beat reporters are indicating that Coleman looked good in practice this week. Again, whatever that's worth, practice reports. But they think he could be looking at a breakout game here in Week 13. But if I'm betting on a running back, it's definitely Devontae Freeman here against the Chiefs. They tend to disappoint me. So it wouldn't shock me to see Freeman in the end zone. Let's talk about the passing game, guys. As I touched on Julio Jones just a second ago, I'm expecting a huge game from Julio Jones, and that sucks as a Chiefs fan. But that's just a reality. Julio Jones runs the majority of his routes, guys, at right cornerback. Marcus Peters never really moved from the left side. So Julio Jones gets a matchup against Philip Gaines. He got flamed for over 200 yards in week 12, gave up TDs to Emmanuel Sanders and Benny Fowler. Julio Jones is going to have a field day. He should, in theory, based on the matchup. Again, sucks to say as a Chiefs fan, but that is, quite frankly, that's the reality. You know, I don't know that I believe in any other pass catchers here. Taylor Gabriel, we've watched overcome really some incredible odds. Five TDs in his last four games. You're TD dependent there. I mean, he's a boomer bust play. I wouldn't do it. I'm risk adverse. But again, I've been really bad at fantasy football this year, for those of you that don't already know that. So again, a lot of that's my own doing. But I guess if you need the win, you could do it. Probably gets a lot more Marcus Peters, though, so I don't really like it. He runs most of his routes at left corner, so that's kind of the downside there. Mohamed Sanu, whatever, doesn't really do it for me, so we'll see what happens. He has a good matchup, actually, against a slot cornerback, but I don't know. For me, I think it's going to be all Julio here. Tight end, spin the fucking wheel. You don't want any part of the tight end wheel in Atlanta, and quite frankly, that's all I've got on the Falcons. Let's talk about my Kansas City Chiefs, who... Spoiler alert, I'm going to pick them to win this week. I'll always pick them to win, even if I'm wrong. Start a QB, guys. Alex Smith. He's only had multiple touchdown passes in 3 of 10 starts and fewer than 270 yards in 6 straight. Not good, guys. Not definitely not good. I think you're looking elsewhere. I don't think you were depending on Alex Smith at all. And if you were, I'm sorry. Maybe in a 2 QB league, deep, whatever. But, you know, he's not your guy. Let's talk about the running game here, guys. Spencer Ware is still a guy. Sharkander Quest got more snaps than I think some people expected, but there's nothing I'm worried about here. Falcons run defense is 26th in DVOA and has given up league highs in receptions and receiving yards. So hopefully Andy Reid is smart and they feed Spencer Ware the ball a little bit. So where's a running back to against Atlanta here? Let's go to the wide receivers, guys. Jeremy Maclin banged up with the groin. So, yeah, that sucks. Can't depend on him anyway. Travis Kelce kind of been kind of picked things up a little bit, looking good. Topped 100 yards 3 times over his last 5 games, and he should see a ton of targets in this game. So I like him. If you own him, you're probably starting him. You don't have better options, and I think he's a good play regardless. So Travis Kelce, guys, roll him out there. They got beat up pretty good. Jermaine Gresham, Eagles tight ends, and Cameron Brate, touchdowns or decent matchups. Tyreek Hill, guys. With Maclin out, he's averaged 8.7 touches and 72.3 yards from scrimmage in Macklin's last 3 missed games. So he obviously went the fuck off last week. Hell yeah. They seem to keep him involved, guys. So he's a wide receiver 3, I think, if Macklin's out. And if Maclin returns, they're still going to funnel him touches. Maybe he gets a little bit less. That's what you're doing, I think. I'm not really interested in Conley or Wilson. They haven't shown the value with Maclin out. So we'll see what happens. My pick, guys, here, as I said, Chiefs over the Falcons. My homer comes through extremely, extremely hard. But let's move on to the next game, guys. Detroit at the Saints. And we'll start here with Drew Brees. He should have a fucking week here, guys, against the Lions. Lions ranked dead last in pass defense. And 8-11 quarterbacks have accounted for multiple touchdowns against them. So Drew Brees has been on fire. He's going to continue to be on fire. If you own him, you are playing Drew Brees. The Lions guys have played a better run defense lately, holding enemy backs to a combined 3.4 yards per carry over the last 4 games. But they also face Jacksonville Jaguars, the Minnesota Vikings twice, and the Rams. So take that for what it's worth. Not exactly great running backs. That's kind of, you know, throwing pads at me and putting myself out there. At least with Jacksonville and Minnesota, I'm no Todd Gurley. Guys, Mark Ingram goes out there, has one hell of a fantasy day. Tim Hightower was saved by the freak of freak plays. So if you played either of them, you turned out happy. You were probably pretty bummed until late in the Saints game for Hightower. But, guys, Ingram enters week 13 with 7 TDs over his last 9. And I think you can play both of them. Hightower remains a strong running back, too. Ingram has a toe injury. He's been banged up a little bit, but he practiced on Friday. So, see how he goes. If Ingram were not to play here, guys, Hightower is running back 1, I think, easily. Let's talk wide receivers, guys. Michael Thomas has been fucking legit. He leads the Saints in catches, yards, and touchdowns, and red zone targets. So he pretty much owns most of the categories here. He has a size advantage on right cornerback Nevin Lawson, who's kind of short, at least compared to me. I'm no football player, but that's the way it goes. So I expect another nice week here out of Thomas. Cooks really shit the bed on you guys last week, and that sucks. I won't bail on him. I'm not as pumped. He should still be able to play well. He should bounce back. I don't expect a fucking egg from Brandon Cooks this week. And if he gives you one, my bad. Let's talk who we got here. Willie Snead. I'm fine with Willie Snead. He'll play. He'll get some looks. I don't really have that much analysis on Willie Snead. I'll be honest, I'm a bit underprepared for you guys this morning. So that's what I got. Kobe Fleener. Do I want to talk about Kobe Fleener? Not really. He played a season low 24% of the Saints week 12 snaps, guys. He got outproduced by Hill, and he's a touchdown or bust guy. So spin the wheel. I'm not into it. And quite frankly, if you wanted to play Hill over Fleener, you could. I'd rather spin the wheel, but Hill snap rates, guys, 51%, 57%, 77% over the past 3 weeks. So he seems to be emerging at least as the guy. You know, Foligno's had his shining moments, but can't count on it. Take a sip of my coffee. 1 second. All right, and we'll leave that gap in there for you guys. Let's talk about the Lions. Matthew Stafford's been held under 280 passing yards in 8 straight games, guys. Only one multi-touchdown performance over his last 5. Saints defense has gotten a little better. I don't know. I don't like it for Stafford. I know you say you can score a ton of points against the Saints, but just 1 of 5 quarterbacks that face the Saints have finished inside the top 16 fantasy passers since week 7, guys. That's not great. So again, you might not have a better option than Stafford, and in theory against the Saints should be a good play, but he hasn't been as great. I don't know why, what's going on. But yeah, just keep those stats in mind if you have other options. Theo Riddick, guys, he's the clear back for the Lions. He showed that on Thanksgiving, 14 touches, and yep, he's the guy. Great matchup here against the Saints. Theo Riddick, running back. High 2, low 1, depending on where kind of your ranks fall, I think. Saints guys allowing the NFL's 4th most receiving yards to enemy back. So, awesome, awesome, awesome. Dwayne Washington is unusable, as far as I'm concerned. Let's talk about the receivers, guys. Golden Tate, we talked about Theo Riddick's receiving ability and his value. You're playing him if you own him, unless you own fucking, you know, David Johnson and, I don't know, somebody else there on the top. Top 10. But, yeah, the Saints secondary is bad. So, again, I guess it's hard to say. I expect a bad week from Stafford and a good week from the receivers. But Golden Tate's a start. I don't believe in Marvin Jones. I don't think anybody believes in Marvin Jones. He's cleared 55 yards once in his last 7 games. He's scoreless in 5 straight. He has a thigh injury. So, that sucks. Anquan Boldin has drawn target totals of 9 since the bye week, but he's got some scoring ability, guys. He's hit pay dirt in 6 of 11 games, so touchdown dependent if you really want to roll Boldin out there. A guy I do like is Eric Ebron. He gave you a goose egg on Thanksgiving, which I didn't expect. I don't think anybody expect. Huge, huge, huge letdown. But, you know, if they're going to be maybe shooting it out with the Saints. I don't counter, what's the word? Contradicting, I'm sorry, my thoughts here on Stafford. You know, I still think Ebron will be okay. His playing time was normal at 80%. I think he bounces back. I'm not saying he has a killer game, but he definitely bounces back. I'm okay with playing Ebron. Spin the wheel if you want. I am taking the Saints here, though. All right, that means we are moving on, guys, to the Los Angeles Rams. Still sounds weird to say, but I guess at week 13, it's about time I get on board. And the New England Patriots. Yikes, a lot of injuries here. Let's start with the Patriots, and we'll start with Tom Brady. You know, he was banged up, knee injury, whatever. You own Brady, you're starting Brady. I don't even have to sell you on Tom Brady. So let's move past him. Let's take a look at the running backs. And I think it's a LeGarrette Blount game here, guys. Just based on they're giving up 5.85 yards per carry over the last 3 games. They're traveling from LA to Foxborough. Yeah, I like LeGarrette Blount. I think he finds the end zone, pounds a bunch of yards down the Rams' throat. I can't trust Deion Lewis, James White, any of that stuff yet. So for me, it's LeGarrette Blount. I'm not rolling the dice anywhere else. Let's go down here, guys, and talk about pass catchers. Without Gronk, guys, interesting here. With Gronk inactive or a non-factor the past 2 weeks, Julian Edelman leads the charge here with 28 catches, followed by James White with 15, Malcolm Mitchell with 12, Martellus Bennett with 7, Chris Hogan with 5. So, you know, Edelman seems to be the major beneficiary. We know Gronk is done for the season, which, I mean, sucks if you're a Gronk owner or a Patriots fan, quite frankly, but they'll get him back. I saw a video of him walking in the hospital, and he was typical Gronk, laughing, whatever, doing his thing. So, good for him. If I ever have surgery, I hope I can bounce back and have that kind of attitude. But I'm sure being a freak athlete and having lots of money helps. So, yeah, Edelman, if you own him, you're playing him. It's not great against LaMarcus Joyner here, but he's the focus of the passing attack. So, his floor should be nice. Martellus Bennett, lingering ankle issue, but he's not coming off the field. There's no Gronk. So I think you have to play him if you're a Gronk corner, because you probably own Bennett as there. The Rams giving up the NFL's seventh fewest catches and eighth fewest yards to tight ends, but I still think you can roll him out there. Saints tight ends played well against him last week. Sorry, guys. Malcolm Mitchell played 47% of New England's Week 12 snaps with Hogan back, but he's producing. He's earned the trust of Brady, and he may have the best matchup here of the week. He runs most of his routes at right corners, and that means E.J. Gaines, who just got smacked by Michael Thomas for 9, 108, and 2 touchdowns last week. So I can't trust Hogan. He doesn't have, he has yet to have top 5 targets in any of Brady's starts. Not a great ceiling, a 0 for a floor, quite frankly. Yeah, that's it for the Patriots, guys. On the Rams side of the ball, wow, Jared Goff comes to life here. 3 touchdown first half against the Saints. Kind of shit the bed in the second half of the game, but that's okay. You know, progress. He's a rookie. He's playing, but did not expect the start that he came out with. I don't think, quite frankly, really anybody did. But not looking to go against Bill Belichick. Don't like Goff here. I don't even like him with 2 QBs, but I guess at that point you're pretty shit out of options anyway. Talk about running back, guys. Todd Gurley, if you own him, you're playing him, you've been playing him, you may have better options, but Patriots run defense is pretty good. It's probably the strength of their defense. I don't know, guys. He's hit 100 total yards in 1 of 11 games. So again, you're starting him. Belichick's probably game planning against him, as he's kind of the focal point of the offense, but you know, unless you, it depends. If you have Theo Riddick and somebody else, I mean, the better upside. But if you draft where you drafted Gurley and where you probably are in your season, start your studs, if you can call him a stud. I don't know, that kind of sucks to say. Wide receivers, guys. Tavon Austin, best matchup. Again, best matchup is really all I can say. Their defense is, the Patriots' interior defense has given up a bunch of touchdowns, yards, whatever you want to call it, to Quincy Anua, Doug Baldwin, Fitz, Landry, Robert Woods, Hawkins. Again, we'll see what happens. But Tavon Austin had a chest injury. He's listed as doubtful, so we don't know. I don't even know if he's going to play as of Saturday morning. But if that's the case, I still have no interest in anybody, I guess, outside of Tavon Austin. Kenny Britt leads the Rams in targets with 17 in Goff's 2 starts. But again, Patriots are good. Goff's got a tough matchup. I don't really know they like any of the Rams. But if Tavon goes, he's the best matchup. You could totally do it. Taking the Patriots here, no question about it. Let's talk Denver Broncos, who lost last week to my Kansas City Chiefs, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Coffee break? Okay. So let's start on the Jaguars side of the ball, because who doesn't like the Jaguars? TJ Tasty and Allen Robinson shitting the bed. So, guys, just so you know, for the record, again, I'm not really huge into the over-unders. Walsh, I know, is. But it's the Week 13's lowest game total with 40.5 points projected here. Denver's defense should be a popular play everywhere. Again, if you own them in regular leagues, you already own them. They're not on the wire. In daily, I would imagine they get a pretty high ownership percentage. They're playing Blake Bortles, taking multiple sacks in 9 of 11 games. He's failed to clear 270 passing yards in 4 straight weeks. So fuck Bortles is pretty much what I'm telling you guys. Pass defense is number 1 in DVOA, and just 1 opposing quarterback has finished above QB 15 since week 1. Ouch. That projects badly kind of across the board. The backfield sucks. I don't want any part of their backfield. Chris Irie pulled a hamstring last week. T.J. Yeldon had 7 touches. Ankle injury I'm seeing here, and Denard Robinson was ineffective as the lead guy. So you don't want any part of the running backs at all. Wide receivers, Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, Julius Thomas. I guess you could say that Hurns being injured and Thomas with the back injury should open up opportunity for Allen Robinson and, you know, Marquise Lee. But the matchup pretty much makes them all bad fantasy options. Lee's got to run most of his routes to Aqib Talib. Robinson gets Bradley, Robbie, or Roby, whatever, which is a better matchup, but not great. Four opposing wideouts guys have cleared 60 yards against Denver all year. With Blake Bortles, bad matchup. He's played bad. Allen Robinson's was a letdown last week. He's really just had those three good weeks. I'm fine benching all your Jaguars. All of them. And that sucks to say because you paid high price for Allen Robinson, but you should have sold while you had the chance. I continued to try and ride him, and here I am in last place. So let's talk about the Broncos side of the ball, guys. Running back. Let's start there. Devontae Booker, he's been pretty shitty, actually, since CeeDee Anderson got hurt and he got the lead role. The Broncos are using him because he's the lead guy, but he's failed to clear 3.3 yards per carry, guys, in any of his last four games. He outsnapped Capri Bibbs 58% to 38%, and Bibbs didn't look that great either. I guess Booker is the better player if you're going to play one of them. The Jags running defense is not good. They're ranked number 23. 4.48 yards per carry, but I don't know that I can just like believe that all of a sudden Booker's going to run well. Could be wrong. Maybe Bibbs is the guy here, but if I can avoid both of them, I probably would. It's theoretically should be a nice matchup, but yeah, don't love it. Rookie Paxton Lynch is going to get the start here. I believe Trevin Siemian's foot sprain is keeping him out. Don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty positive on that. So Jags defense could be a desperation streamer if you really wanted to here. Lynch looked bad in week 5, 6 sacks, fumbled twice, threw an interception. Didn't look great. Again, not saying the Jags are great, but if you want to throw a dart, go for it. Let's talk about the Broncos wide receivers. Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas. Lynch's first start, came out with okay production. 7 for 80, 5 for 49, and a touchdown for Thomas. I don't know. I just, if you want to do it, do it. Sanders averages 9.5 targets a game. Thomas 8.5. They're wide receiver 2 plays this week, guys, but lower floors. So it all depends really on who you have the rest of the way. Tight end, I don't care. I don't spin the fucking wheel. Go away. I don't want any part of it. And I'm taking the Broncos. That's it. Houston Texan guys at the Green Bay Packers. Let's start with the Packers. Aaron Rodgers comes out, and he looked great. He looked great. He threw some really sweet passes. He looked great on Monday Night Football. And Packers fans have to be happy to see Aaron Rodgers kind of looking, I guess, like you could say the Aaron Rodgers of old. He's been a top 6 fantasy passer in 6 straight weeks, guys. So if you own Aaron Rodgers, you're starting him. Not a shocker. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. As far as running backs go, guys, James Starks is the clear back. He had 22 touches on 76% of the snaps. Ty Montgomery and Christine Michael combined for 4 touches. So they're nothing but probably a breather for Starks coming in there. And Starks has some passing game value. Target totals over the past month, 6, 4, 6, and 5. So, look, it's not going to go crazy, but hey, 5 catches, PPR league, that's a nice little added bonus there. But wide receivers, guys, are tight ends, wide receivers. We'll just throw them all together. The Texans have, they were pretty good in the secondary, really, for much of the year. But they haven't looked as great recently. Over the last 3 games, guys, Dontrell Inman went for 6, 119, and 1. Tyrell Williams, 870 in the touchdown. And Amari Cooper, 4, 57, and 1. Even Allen Robinson, good week, who I bashed before. So not as great for Adams and Nelson, but, they're going to be okay. The wide receivers, 2s. Good floors, high ceilings with the way Aaron Rodgers is playing right now and with the leaks that the secondary has kind of opened up. And the Texans couldn't stop Slotman Inman last week. So could be a good thing for Randall Cobb here. He had an explosion in week 11 against the Reds. I read my notes ahead. So again, good thing for Cobb's here. I want no part of the tight end game here with Cook. Just don't. Can't trust him. I know he had a big explosion in week 11, but spin the wheel, please, please, please go in a different direction. Let's start, where am I? I'm sorry. Texans. Oh, feel dumb. All right, Texans QB situation, you're not starting Brock Osweiler. End of story. Start the running game, Lamar Miller. If you own him, you're playing him. Packers run defense, giving up 4.83 yards per carry over the last five games. They've got some injuries on defense there. So, you know, if the Texans are going to stay competitive here, it's because of their running game. It's not going to be, I don't think, because of their passing game. You know, you could worry about the game script here, depending on how involved Miller is going to be, but his workload's pretty good, 26 and 22 the past 2 weeks, touch-wise. So you're starting him if you own him. Hopkins, I guess you can start. You can start Hopkins because they're going to have to throw the ball, I would assume, against the secondary here. They've given up some big games. Pierre Garçon, Jameson Crowder, Deshaun Jackson, Tajay Sharp, Rashard Matthews, Dante Moncrief, T.Y. Hilton. So if you're willing to take the high ceiling potential of the floor, Hopkins, wide receiver three play in season long leagues. Everybody else, wide receiver wise, I'm not interested in. C.J. Fedorowicz, high floor against the Packers. They're giving up the NFL's seventh most catches and third most yards to tight ends. So need a tight end. He's a great stream option here. One of the places where I'm telling you not to spin the wheel. With Fedorowicz this week. I am going to take, though, the Packers here. That moves those guys into Philadelphia Eagles versus the Cincinnati Bengals. AJ Green's hurt, which I'm assuming just starting on the Bengals side of the ball. So he's hurt. Andy Dalton's fantasy outlook is in the shitter, quite frankly. That's it for Andy Dalton. Surprisingly, guys, Rex Burkhead outsnapped Jeremy Hill 52-49%. Hill outtouched Burkhead 18-7. Just I think it's interesting. I don't think it means anything if you're a Hill owner, quite frankly. The Eagles have given up 26 points in four of its last five games. Really, Hill got involved in the passing game in week 12. So you know, you hope that that's kind of the upside for him. His six targets were a career high. I don't know if that continues, but again, AJ Green's banged up, whatever. He's a running back, too, against the Eagles, guys. AJ Green, obviously, injured. So you look at his targets since AJ Green exited in week 11, guys. Brandon LaFell, 18. Tyler Boyd and Tyler Eifert, 17. The rest of them I'm not really interested in. LaFell, I don't think you can trust. He's gotten the targets, but he's put up stat lines of 4 and 32, 3 of 38. Disappointing. Tyler Eifert is, he's awesome. Awesome. Play Eifert. That's really all I have for you, quite frankly. Who else am I, missing? Oh, Boyd. He's drawn target totals of 9 and 8 on snap rates of 74 and 73% with AJ Green out. Don't know about scoring because I think they feed Eifert. He's a wide receiver 3, I think, in PPR leagues. That's all I got. Let's talk Eagles, guys. Start with the QB, Carson Wentz. Not excited about him. Don't play him. His best weekly finish over his last seven games, guys, QB 18. That's according to Evan Silva of RotoWorld.com. So, 2QB league, I guess, if you have to. But otherwise, not super interested. The running back situation in Philadelphia still sucks. Darren Sproles, Wendell Smallwood, whatever is going on with Ryan Matthews. Sproles had a fractured rib. Kenjon Barner mixed in for two touches. I would imagine the Eagles are going to feed Smallwood here. But the predictability of any of them here, I don't want a part of. If you're rolling with one, it's Smallwood, but I don't feel great about that. So good luck rolling the dice there, guys. Wide receivers, Jordan Matthews, Zach Ertz, Doyle Green, Beckham. The running back, Sproles is involved, obviously, but Bengals, they don't have great slot coverage. Injuries and effectiveness. So has the ankle injury against Green Bay. They think he'll play, but he's been banged up. So we're going to see what happens. I think Ertz has a nice opportunity here to bounce back. The Bengals are giving up the sixth most catches and fourth most yards to tight ends. He's averaged eight targets over his last four games and could be leaned on more heavily if Jordan Matthews is limited or inactive. surprisingly, guys, Dorial Green-Beckham has been useful in fantasy the past 2 weeks if you've played him, delivering five catches for 54 yards and a touchdown and six for 82. So, again, PPR league is probably more valuable. You could say that a lot of it happened in garbage time. He dominated early last week, whatever, but still usable if you played him. I don't trust him here in this game, but interesting to look down the stretch. Again, you're going to the playoffs, so you probably don't care, but important to note nonetheless. I am going to take here the Bengals. You're welcome, Benny. That's really just a nod to you. I don't like either team here, but we'll give it to the Bengals. Coffee break. All right, guys. Miami Dolphins at the Baltimore Ravens. It's going to be a low-scoring game. Probably going to be ugly. It's actually tied as the week's lowest game total at 40.5. So I noted that before. I guess I didn't even realize the Ravens and Dolphins are expected to be a shit show as well. Let's start on the Ravens side of the ball. Dolphins pass defense hasn't allowed an enemy quarterback to finish above QB15, with the exception of Colin Kaepernick, Tyrod Taylor, and Marcus Mariota, which you could say is because of their rushing and passing ability. So, Joe Flacco, not really pumped. You're not playing him. He's delivered top 15 fantasy results in 2 of 11 weeks, guys. So, goodbye. Running backs, Kenneth Dixon appears to be the guy. He passed Terrence West, as the lead guy in the win over Cincy. He had a season high in touches, 17, and snap rate, 45%. West still involved, 16 touches. You know, technically, it's only one touch less, but the game script seemed to be better for Dixon. It's not an exciting matchup, but if you're leaning between the two, I'm going with Kenneth Dixon. The Dolphins did give up 5.33 yards per carry and a bunch of receiving yards and a touchdown to 49ers backs last week. So I think Dixon is your guy if you're rolling with a Ravens running back here. Wide receivers for the Ravens, guys. Steve Smith, Mike Wallace, Dennis Pitta. We talked about Dixon. If Steve Smith's fully healthy, he should have a nice game. He was a little beat up last week. They say Harbaugh says that Smith is fine. We'll see. We know coach speak is usually bullshit. He's got a good matchup. If you own him, I'm fine with rolling him out there. Mike Wallace continues to somehow be relevant. Blows my mind. It's actually upsetting, quite frankly. But he's got some winnable matchups. He's big play dependent, no doubt. His targets, guys, over the last 4 weeks, 6, 5, 10, and 4. So, obviously, we know about the Steve Smith injury early on and everything else, but he's big play dependent. There's no other way to put it. If you want to roll him out there, go for it. Again, it's kind of boom or bust. Dennis Pitta is a spin the wheel. I have no interest. He's scored 60 yards in 1 of 11 games this season, guys. So, spin the wheel. Let's talk about the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill is he's strung together 3 multi-touchdown games, and he's getting better. I'm not sure what that means for the Dolphins, but Tannehill's looked better, but he's not someone you're betting on in fantasy. Ravens are top 10 pass defense, so not pumped. You think Jay Ajayi is going to have a tough matchup here against Baltimore's run defense. They're ranked number 1 in DVOA pretty much all year. They gave up 17 rushes for 50 yards last week, 2.94 yards per carry against the Bengals. They haven't a lot of rushing touchdowns since week 9. I don't know if you have someone else that you're going to play over Ajayi. I mean, he's probably pretty bankable for about 18, 19 touches this week, but you got to hope for a big break or he somehow gets into the end zone on a close play. As far as wide receivers go, guys, Landry's been rough, but some people think he could bounce back here just because the Ravens have struggled against interior receivers. I don't know that I buy that just because Landry's been tough. Not for me. If you want to roll a dice in DFS, maybe I probably wouldn't put him in PPR league, but if you want to play him in DFS, the matchup shows that he should be usable. But again, in good conscience, I'm not going to tell you to do it. Devontae Parker has looked good. Target since Miami's week 8 bye, 28, leads the team. So do with that what you will. Yeah, and that's it as far as the Dolphins are concerned. There's nothing else I'm chasing after. Just no interest. I'm going to take the Ravens here. With that, guys, we're going to take a quick break before you get to hear me come back and solo give you the second half of the Week 13 games. Let's hear from No Halftime.
You're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players, not his entire team. But your fantasy sports service doesn't allow you to. Now you can on the all-new No Halftime app. The No Halftime app allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams. For example, you could pit Beckham versus Brown, Cam versus Rodgers, or even Ezekiel Elliott versus AP. Creating a challenge takes seconds, and accepting challenges is even easier. No Halftime challenges can be private or public and created for the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA, and other sports. Join today and get started. Real money and fantasy supremacy awaits you. And now you can also try No Halftime for free with $0 challenges. Visit NoHalftime.com for more information and to download the No Halftime app for your iPhone or Android device. Receive a bonus by entering in the promo code LTFF at signup. Receive a free t-shirt when you make a deposit. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break.
All right, and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That's No Halftime. Guys, sign up on the app, use the promo code, get some awesome sign-up bonuses, and check it out. It's where we're playing fantasy, and we absolutely love it. We couldn't be happier to be partnering with them, and we're excited to see where we go from here. More matchups to come, guys. It doesn't end with the regular season. With one-on-one matchups, you've got the playoffs, you've got it all the way through to the very end. They also have more than the NFL, but obviously we're here for fantasy football and NFL. So, all right, guys, that means the second half of the week 13 games are here. Let's talk about the San Francisco 49ers, the Chicago Bears, and let's start with the San Francisco 49ers. Colin Kaepernick continues to deliver monster games. Doesn't matter how you feel about Colin Kaepernick, he's been great. He looks great in the Chip Kelly offense. He's gonna play well. Chicago's yielded top 12 fantasy quarterback weeks in 5 of its last 7. And, he's a QB1. End of story. You own him, play him. Obviously, if you're playing an elite guy, you're not. But, you know, if you're playing a lower bottom guy, Colin Kaepernick is going to play well here against the Bears. At least, I would assume so. Carlos Hyde. Weird to say his name, healthy out there. He should have a good game here against the Bears. Odds are it's a good game script against the Bears. They've given 100-plus rushing yards in consecutive games. They've got some injuries there. So, yeah, I think he's got a high floor, which is weird to say about Carlos Hyde. Running back 2, I think. And he could have a nice ceiling. He's actually probably a bit underpriced on DFS from what I understand. I am, again, not a DFS expert. But from what I'm seeing, based on the floor, ceiling, etc., nice value. Let's talk about what Cap's doing with the ball, throwing it through the air. Quentin Patton and Jeremy Curley, 35 targets apiece through weeks 6 through 12 with Kaepernick. Obviously something you like to see. Vance McDonald with 34, literally just one behind. McDonald's really been the lone reliable pass catcher here, guys, with Kaepernick quarterbacking. And I think he's the only one you can realistically start here. 6 or more targets in 5 straight games, has 50 plus yards and an end or a touchdown in each of Cap's last 4 starts. The Bears tight end coverage is pretty bad. They yielded 911 yards and a touchdown to Bucks tight ends in week 10. Will Tye's only touchdown of the season came in week 11, 350-1, and 4 targets to Delanie Walker in week 12. So I think he's the only one you're trusting in the passing game. Let's flip to the other side of the ball, guys, and let's talk about the Chicago Bears. Matt Barkley, he looked better than I expected too. So I think he surprised a lot of people. He held his own, almost had the comeback win, fell up just short. Would have been pretty incredible, but, you know, big end zone drop there. He posted a top 12 quarterback week based on stats last week, but I wouldn't bank on it here. I'm not playing him in any matchups, but we'll see what happens. Good for the rookie. We know Jay Cutler is done. We don't like Cutler here. Well, at least a few of us don't like Cutler here on Let's Talk Fantasy Football. So let's see what the Matt Barkley era means. Jordan Howard, guys, still looks good despite a depleted offensive line. He's averaging 5.45 yards per carry over his last four games. He's got a great workload. The team's going to continue to run the ball. They're facing the NFL's worst run defense. Play Jordan Howard. That's it. Good matchup. Workload. Great. Look at the wide receivers. Again, we got 1 week of data here with Barkley, but 11 targets for Marquise Wilson, Cameron Meredith, Deontay Thompson, and Josh Bellamy, 9. Guys, the 49ers have yielded a league high 20 touchdowns to wide receivers. That means you're looking for one guy to, or maybe two, to break out. I think it's Marquise Wilson. Last week, 8, 125, and a touchdown. He logged 59% of Chicago's snaps with 11 targets. He's my guy here to expect a good game out of. Cameron Meredith should. Targets were there. Again, I mean, he had 9 compared to 11. That's 2 difference. He had a lot of drops last week. So I'm not sure if that's fluky or what it is. I'm not rolling Meredith out there. I am rolling Wilson out there, though. And that's it. I don't trust anybody else until I see more. Pretty easy game. I am going to say Matt Barkley gets the first win here against the 49ers. Actually, no, I'm not. Cap's going to do it. Cap's got it. I take it back. They're going to win that game, and that sucks to say. Let's talk about the Buffalo Bills versus the Oakland Raiders. And let's start here with the Oakland Raiders. Wall Street Raiders look great. Sucks to say the AFC West is extremely, extremely competitive this year. And definitely sucks to say. But let's start here. Derek Carr. He's got two dislocations in his right throwing pinky. They still won the game. Derek Carr is Derek Carr. I don't think you should worry about him. Buffalo is going to do their thing and come after him. But depends on who else you have, I think, in season-long leagues. I'm not necessarily advocating for him. But just see who you have. Check the rankings. Running backs. Latavius Murray, 22 touches last week, guys, on the season high, 66% of the snaps. 9 TDs through 9 appearances, guys. He's got the workload. You're playing Latavius Murray. He continues to find the end zone. I don't get it. I do get it, but he's good. You're playing him. That's it. End of story. Wide receivers, guys. Carr's targets over the last 5 games: Michael Crabtree with 53, Amari Cooper with 40, Seth Roberts with 26. Don't worry about Michael Crabtree. You're playing him. Carr went back to him over Carolina after the bad game against the Texans. He's got the best matchup, guys, here on paper against the Bills. So, I think Crabtree, big game here. Cooper should have another nice game here. I don't know if it's necessarily a blowout potential, but I think he's got a good matchup. I think you can play both Cooper and Crabtree, and they're both going to have a nice week. I'm not playing Seth Roberts, but again, that's me. And that's really all I care about on the Oakland side of the ball. Let's talk about the Bills. Tyrod Taylor got Sammy Watkins back last week, he was Sammy Watkins. He's always banged up. He's injured. That just seems to be the way it goes. He had foot soreness, but sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Tyrod Taylor, probably a shootout here. It's got the third highest total on the week 13 slate. I don't know if I will play Tyrod Taylor, even though he's got the upside, but he'll be okay. Average week, he'll probably be like a QB 12, 10. Cam Newton finished his QB 10 last week. All depends what you're looking for, but Tyrod Taylor's got that rushing ability. He'll be fine. I don't know why I just ranted so much on Tyrod Taylor. There was no need for that. Let's also look at the running game. Not really much to look at. LeSean McCoy, you own him. You're playing him. Roll him out there. End of story. He's a running back one. He's elite. Wide receivers, guys. Sammy Watkins, he only played 45% of the Bills' week 12 snaps, and he ran 19 routes. Got some foot soreness. I don't know if I trust him. You know, in theory, it should be a good matchup against Oakland's cornerbacks based on speed, size, etc. But I think he's a low-end wide receiver three just because the foot soreness, he can go out there and play five snaps and foot pushes him back out. They don't want to risk it. He could play all game. I don't really know. For me, I'd probably look elsewhere. You've probably waited on Sammy Watkins long enough. This isn't the week where I'm going to gamble, particularly if you need a win to get into the playoffs or if you're on the fringe competing for whatever. Just, I wouldn't do it. I'd look elsewhere. He's a wide receiver, low wide receiver three because of the risk for me. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't believe in Charles Clay, Marquise Goodwin. Who else we got here? That's it. I really don't believe in any of the pass catchers. So take that for what it's worth, which coming from me could be nothing. And we're going to give Raiders the win. You're welcome, Moss. Let's talk Giants at the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger comes into week 13 with three or more touchdown passes in seven straight home games. He's great at home, not as great on the road. Giants pass defense has been better, guys. They've surged to number seven in DVOA while allowing the NFL's second fewest touchdown passes and one top 12 fantasy QB finish through 11 games. So very, very interesting to watch, but again, the Steelers, they're good at home. Particularly Ben Roethlisberger is good at home. If you own Le'Veon Bell, you're playing him. If you own Antonio Brown, you're playing him. They're both matchup-proof guys. That's it. You don't have to worry about any of them. Who else we got? That's Eli Rogers, guys. I don't know. I liked him a while back. They had the win in the Cleveland game. I got off him a little bit. But his playing time is kind of fallen the wrong way the past few weeks. Gone from 85%, 65% to 50%. So I'm kind of off that. I'm kind of off really everybody except Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell here. It's not Eli Rogers, Jesse James, Sammy Coates, Adarius Green. I expect Big Ben to play well, but I don't trust any of it. If you wanted to roll someone, I guess you could try with Adarius Green. He's got a good upside against the Giants' weak tight end defense. So definitely could happen, but don't be surprised if you get a big fat zero. Flip side of the ball, guys, Giants. Eli Manning, he'll be fine. He's cleared 260 yards since the middle of October. He's not cleared, I'm sorry. It's 260 yards since the middle of October, but he's thrown multiple touchdown passes in four straight games and five of his last six. I wouldn't start him. But he'll be okay if you had to two QB leagues. I wouldn't do it. The running game. I want no part of the Giants running game. Rashad Jennings playing time dipped to 50% last week. Rookie Paul Perkins got 39% and 11 touches, was more involved. This continues to be a running back by committee. You need volume. I think Jennings at best is a flex play and, that's it. On the wide receiver side of the ball, Odell Beckham, you own him. You're starting him. I don't think it's a question. That's the way it goes. Shepard went targetless last week against Cleveland. He got matched up with Hayden more than normally because of OBJ moving inside. And that's the way it goes. You know, Shepard hasn't topped 50 yards, guys, since week three. But when he scores touchdowns, he ends up being worth the play. I don't think he has much of a ceiling. If you want the floor, you could roll him out there, but there's that. And fuck Will Tye. Spin the wheel. I'm sorry. You can't roll Will Tye out there at all. I would rather play Ladarius Green as the upside. And with that, guys, I'm taking the Steelers. Let's talk Washington at Arizona. Start with the Arizona Cardinals. Carson Palmer. Whew. He's failed to finish inside the top 15 fantasy QBs for the seventh in his time in last eight games, guys. He's not the Carson Palmer we knew last year that was carrying fantasy teams. That's just the way it goes. I can't believe it changes here. Technically you say the matchup's good and he could be like borderline usage, but I just can't advise it. He hasn't shown anything that you can trust. If you want to roll a dice, fucking roll a dice, but it's not for me. David Johnson, you're playing David Johnson. He's an incredible play. Quite frankly, the Redskins run defense, Football Outsiders has them ranked dead last in DVOA. So he's going to have an incredible, incredible week. And yeah, that's the way it goes, particularly when you play against Washington on the ground. Guys, Palmer's targets since Arizona's week 9 bye: Larry Fitzgerald and David Johnson with 29, Jermaine Gresham with 18, Michael Floyd with 16. And that's a bit of a mess as we go down the rest of the way. Fitzgerald kind of flopped last week, 4 for 53. I think he bounces back nicely here against Redskins rookie slot cornerback Kendall Fuller. I'm fine with rolling Larry Fitzgerald out there. And I don't think you get Josh Norman on him, because Fitz plays 70% of his snaps in the slot. Norman plays 94% of his snaps on the boundary, and will most likely be on Nelson or Floyd on the outside. What that means to me is not pumped on Floyd or Nelson, just because I'm not sure how that coverage and everything else is going to look. So I'm out on both of them. Cool on Fitz. Gresham, he might be coming a thing. I don't know. You look at his target totals the past 4 weeks, 5, 6, 2, and 10. Obviously, the 2 is a downer. But he seems to be getting the targets. The Redskins have allowed the NFL's third most receptions and 10 most yards to tight ends. If Palmer is able to actually do what we think he should be able to do against his offense, there's a good chance Gresham finds the end zone and gets, say he gets 5 targets, average that out. Pretty good for a streaming tight end. I'm okay with it. It's crazy to say, but I'm okay with Gresham this week as a tight end streamer. Let's go to the flip side. Look at Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins. Not a great matchup here for Kirk. He gets probably his toughest matchup in a while against the Cardinals. They've yet to surrender 270 passing yards to a quarterback this season, and they're number 3 in pass defense, DVOA, with a league low 9 touchdown passes allowed. It's not going to be an upside game. He has a safe floor, but just I don't expect it. So if you have another option to Kirk Cousins, please use it. I don't expect a stud game out of him, particularly as you're staring down the barrel of the playoffs, or for some people, last place. Rob Kelly, guys, in the backfield, negative game script finally kind of caught up to him. He finished with 16 touches, but it wasn't quite the game everyone had hoped for him. It's a reality check kind of on the floor that he really does have. I think the matchup here against Arizona is another concern for Rob Kelly. Arizona's given up a ton of rushing scores lately, which I guess could be the upside, but they've also ranked number 11 in run defense, and they're holding running backs to 2.83 yards per carry. So really depends what side of the game script you want to believe in. I'm going to believe in it's not a great one for Rob Kelly. Targets on the flip side, guys, not really great matchups except for maybe Crowder. 75% of his routes are run in the slot. That's been a problematic spot for the Arizona defense before, and you got to think they're going to try and feed him the ball there. Jordan Reed's out. Djax is likely to draw Patrick Peterson here. It's not a great floor. He's always got the upside of the big play, but Patrick Peterson's good. Only 2 wideouts have reached 80 yards against Arizona through 11 games. So Garcon, he's been over 80 yards. Freaking, what is it? 11 of his last 13? Oh, no. Sorry, only twice over 13. I switched those. I don't buy it. I think you can look at the flip side of the ball and say, all right, well, without Jordan Reed, Vernon Davis, he's kind of been fed the ball, which is a good thing. The Cardinals are they're very good against the tight end. So league low in yards, league low in catches. But if you need a tight end, he should get fed. We've seen that with Reed out. Just the matchups, not as great as you'd hope it would be. Because of the defense and David Johnson here, guys, I'm giving the win to the Arizona Cardinals. Let's go over to Tampa Bay at San Diego. Let's start with San Diego. Melvin Gordon is if you own Melvin Gordon, you're starting him. I'm not going to waste my time giving stats against the Bucs. Everything else, he's got a high floor fantasy outlook. Play him. Phillip Rivers, he's going to be fine. I know Russell Wilson played bad against the Bucs. I really wouldn't worry about it. Rivers thrown multiple touchdown passes in four straight games. I think he's someone you can look at with a high floor. Maybe not a huge, huge upside, but if he's a safe guy, Philip Rivers will probably be okay. Terrell Williams is clearly the top guy in that offense. 14 targets in week 12 from Philip Rivers. Great stat lines if you own him, play him. Who else we have? He has a shoulder injury, but I wouldn't sweat it too much. He's playing. You're going to play him. That's the way it goes. Dontrell Inman has at least six targets in five straight games. Had a huge win over Houston, but he's got a good matchup. So I think he's a high floor, low ceiling option. And, yep, I think you can roam out there if you need to. He's kind of the second best guy, I think, in that San Diego pass game. As far as tight end, you know, Gates kind of, whatever, let you down. So that's the way it goes. The Bucks, I'm just looking at what they've given up. Okay, so you could play Gates, I think. Gates has scored in three or four home games this season, guys. He's got 9+ targets in three of his last four. And the Bucks are typically not good against tight ends. It's the Seahawks, Travis Kelce, Falcons tight ends, Raiders tight ends, Greg Olsen. So I think if you want a guy, not a bad play to play the tight end. Flip side of the ball, the Bucks. Consistent quarterback, Jameis Winston. Thrown for 330+ yards and or multiple touchdowns in six of six games since their week six bye. Which is crazy. I couldn't believe it when they beat the Chiefs. I really couldn't believe it when they beat the Seahawks. And San Diego seems to have a way to fall apart and shit the bed. I watched him do it against the Chiefs and multiple other times this season. He'll be okay. He's got the upside. He's not a bad play. That's as good as I can give you. Doug Martin, he'll be fine. If you own him, I think you play him. He's a running back too. Yeah, running back too. That's fair. Passes from Jameis Winston. Mike Evans, legit. He's at 87 since Vincent Jackson went to IR. Next closest, Adam Humphries went 35. Mike Evans obviously went off last week with two touchdowns, and you're starting him if you own him. That's about it. The only other pass catcher here worth, I think, fantasy discussion is Cameron Brate. He had a touchdown negated by a penalty last week. He's second in red zone targets behind Evans with 11. And tied for the team lead with Evan in targets inside the 10-yard line. You can start him if you need a tight end. The Titans went for 651 and a touchdown in Week 10 versus San Diego, and the Texans were 9 for 86. So I'm okay with the stream of Cameron Brate here. I'm going to take the Bucks as the Chargers somehow drop another game. Sunday Night Football, guys, Carolina at Seattle. Let's start with Seattle, who Russell Wilson shit the bed for everybody last week. It was kind of it was a huge shock, actually. He rushed for 80 yards, season high, which really was the lone good piece for Russell Wilson fantasy owners. Carolina ranks number 5 in run defense DVOA, but 15 versus the pass. So Wilson should bounce back. If you own him, I think you're starting him. I think it's much of a question, quite frankly. The matchup isn't great for Thomas Rawls, but if you own him and you need to start him, it's kind of blind faith. You know, he's should experience positive game script, and I don't expect them to fall, down 14-0 like they did early last week. So if you're doing it with Rawls, go for it. You're not pumped on it. Just if you have to play him, you have to play him. Targets, guys, since Seattle's week 5 bye. Jimmy Graham with 48, Doug Baldwin with 47. That's really kind of where I think you're leaning. Jimmy Graham should have a very nice game here. So if you own him, you're starting him. Baldwin looks good. He's got 6+ catches in 4 of his last 6 weeks. Play him. For the record, Jeremy Curse has had great success in 2 of the last 3 meetings with Carolina. He also had a big fat goose egg in that third one. So low floor, history indicates he has a high ceiling. I don't know that I trust him, But if you want to roll dice on Lockett, it could be a nice Hail Mary toss-up. Do I have anything else? Nope, nothing else on the Seahawks. Let's talk Carolina Panthers, guys. Cam Newton, if you own him, you're playing him. End of story. Jonathan Stewart has run successfully on the Seattle defense over the last four meetings. 106 yards, two touchdowns, 78 yards, two touchdowns, 70 yards and 79 yards. He averages 4.9 yards per carry. Obviously not a great matchup, but if he scores a touchdown, he helps you. If he doesn't score a touchdown, he hurts you. He hasn't kept a lot of balls, but I'm okay with Jonathan Stewart as like a running back three, whatever, flex guy, just based on his history of finding the end zone against Seattle. Ted Ginn leads the team in targets since the week 7 bye with 35. Kelvin Benjamin with 34. Ted Ginn, guys, averaging 7.2 targets over his last six games. He's been robust. If you want to throw a dart throw, I wouldn't do it, but that's fine. Kelvin Benjamin, much safer. Touchdown and or 70-plus yards in 9 of 11 games this season. Yeah. Roll Kelvin Benjamin out there as a wide receiver three. Maybe a high-end wide receiver three just because of the matchup against Sherman. Normally, probably a wide receiver two, but that's the way it goes. Looking at their tight end stats, Cameron Bray, touchdown. You're rolling Greg Ellison out there if you had him. You know, he struggled recently, but I'll tell you what, the Seahawks aren't great against the tight end, 6-62 to the Bucs. With that touchdown call back last week, 68 in the touchdown to the Eagles tight ends in week 11, 158 yards to Patriots tight end in week 10. Could be a nice bounce back here for Greg Olsen. With that, I expect the Seahawks to get back on track. I take the Seahawks to win it. And let's wrap it up, guys, here with Monday Night Football, the Indianapolis Colts at the New York Jets. Andrew Luck is expected to return here to the game, and he's Andrew Luck. He's going to be fine. He's going to throw the shit out of the ball, and you just got to hope he has decent pass protection. That's really what it comes down to. But if you own him, you're starting him. Odds are you do not have a better QB to start. Frank Floor. Our man Frank Floor continues to somehow defy all odds and be useful. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if the Colts decide to use him in the passing game because the Jets have yielded the NFL's seventh most running back receptions. He's guaranteed for, we'll say, 15 plus touches. He's had that in 10 of 11 games so far this year. I wouldn't expect him to get a ton on the ground here, but his receiving usage, you got to hope for the upside. But Frank Floor, he'll give you, you know, an average game. Don't expect anything incredible out of Mr. Floor. Depends on your other options if you're rolling him out there. Wide receivers, guys, Dante Moncrief, T.Y. Hilton, Jack Doyle, Dwayne Allen, however you want to look at it. Hilton looks to be healthy after the back injury concern last week. I think Hilton has a really, really nice game here against the Jets. I think he gets behind that secondary. He's got 80-plus yards and or a touchdown in six of Luck's eight last games. Moncrief has nine touchdowns over his last 11 full games played with Luck, and he's scored in all five of his games this year. So they both, in theory, should have great games. Moncrief, just based on his recent production, I guess, is the higher upside. I'm not throwing a dart throw at any other wide receivers in this game. The tight ends are too, they just pull from each other. There's no value there. Spin the wheel. And that's about it on the Colts side of the ball, guys. The Jets. Fitz leading the team. He's played better at home than on the road. I don't know, man. The Colts have given up multiple touchdown passes in eight straight games. I think Fitz will be fine for a two QB league. You don't want him in a one QB league. And I think that Matt Forte here is able to bounce back. Offers a floor of probably about 15 to 16 touches. Sometimes they feed him the ball and he ends up with 30. So I think Forte will be fine. He'll be involved. Blah Pyle, interesting in the passing game. You know, he's usually, I'd say, somewhere between 8 and 12 touches a game. And he could have some upside if he breaks one, goes for the end zone. As far as receivers, guys, Brandon Marshall rediscovers the end zone last week. They almost pulled off the upset on New England. He's drawn 8-plus targets in 9 of 10 games started by Fitz. He's got a great matchup here against the Colts. If you own Marshall, you're playing him. That's about it. Can see a new Quincy. I'm sorry, a new drawn five targets or fewer in four of Fitzpatrick's last five games. I don't trust him. Boomer bust, dart throw, wide receiver, whatever you want to do. Best of luck. Quite frankly, I'm gonna take the Colts here. Better offense, just better shootout potential. And that's going to do it, guys, for the Week 13 games. I wish you guys all the best of luck. You're probably staring down the barrel of some playoff runs here or some must-win situations. And hope the matchups work out your way. So with that, I am Nick Schreck from Let's Talk Fantasy Football, and I will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.